Welcome to the Sports Scouting Report Podcast with Lee Brekeen.
Hi, everyone. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Brekeen. We've got a great show today. Our guest is Darren Moore, who played at Ponchatoula High School back in the day as an offensive lineman, played for Louisiana College as an offensive lineman, was an all-conference offensive lineman there, coached at Louisiana College, was the head football coach of Falls River High School, which is no longer having football right now, but he was the head coach a few years ago, and also most recently the head coach at Pineville. Right now he's a free agent coach, so any athletic directors out there or principals, I know that coach right now is putting his resume in to try and become a head coach again or an assistant coach, right, Darren Moore?
Yeah, that's right. Looking for a spot that's closer to home in South Louisiana. And, you know, that's what I've been trying to do lately.
Darren, your career is taking you from South Louisiana, from Ponchatoula, your hometown, where you had a great career at Louisiana College, and you've gotten to know North Louisiana. I mean, you got a lot of respect being in North Louisiana for the last few years. I know your wife is from North Louisiana, but what was the change like for you spending your years at Louisiana College, you know, as a player and then as a coach? You coached there when you were done, and then staying on that side of the state, growing up in Ponchatoula in Tangipo Parish, what was that like for you?
I believe that it was just different. The way things that are done down south, and the love for the game for high school football down south, I would say that they're more passionate about. But we have some great things up here. Being where we are and in the central part of the state, we have a great media that kind of just solely focus on, you know, a few schools. And so they do a good job of trying to get our kids out there and everything like that. So in that regard, I feel like this area was better at than South Louisiana, just simply because there's not as many schools as there is down there. But I would definitely say the passion and the want to go to games on Friday nights and to play high school football and the community, I would say that would be more, you see more of that in South Louisiana.
Yeah, look, our connection goes back, and it's always bring this up to parents that are listening and kids, because sometimes you can take it into your own hands as a kid and make a phone call, and you did that when you were in high school. You called me personally, and I know you remember that. You called me and you said, I want to go play college ball. You called me from the magazine. And I didn't know you. I knew who you were. I saw you play at Ponchatoula, but you were a senior. And I made a couple of calls for you and actually sent your tape out. And you're just a great story, Darren. You go to Louisiana College, and everything, you know, worked out. You're in coaching, and you're a great guy. You got two young kids under 2 years of age that keep you busy, right?
That's right. And I got a 10-year-old too, so.
You got your plate full, but you got a great family. But remember that time when you called me? I mean, I never forgot that. That's our connection. I mean, you called me as a 17-year-old kid out of the blue. Remember that on the phone?
I do. I do remember that. I remember me and my dad, we were talking about colleges, and I was getting recruited by some schools. I was getting recruited by Nichols and UL and Southeastern, but no real commitments or offers. UL staff got fired my senior year, Nichols staff got fired my senior year, Northwestern staff got fired my senior year. Dooley left and went to Tennessee Tech.
Right.
So it was just a crazy, just some crazy events that, got me to Louisiana College. But I definitely remember there. I remember going on the show and being, you know, this young 17-year-old sitting on the set. That was back when the set was, you know, an actual set and not a green screen. But I remember my dad. He told me, he's like, well, you know, you got Lee Burkeen over here at Louisiana Football Magazine. He was in it for your senior year. Why don't you just give him a call?
Right.
And so that's what I did.
Yeah, and we hooked you up, man. We got you to come down, and the rest is history. And I'm proud of you, man. I mean, you're still a young coach, and I want to brag on you. I want to take a break. Don't go anywhere. When I come back, you had one of the best seasons at Pineville in the history of the school. False River, they had one of their best seasons. We want to talk about that when you were the coach there. We'll be right back. Our guest today is Darren Moore, former Ponchatoula All-District offensive lineman, former All-Conference offensive lineman from Louisiana College. We'll talk about Louisiana College, too, going NAIA with Darren, and also talk about just football in general when we come back. You're listening to the Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. We'll be right back. Listen, whatever you're driving right now, Tommy Harvey wants it. Bring it in to Harvey Subaru, Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City, or John Harvey Toyota. They're paying big bucks for all trades right now. They'll cut you a check right there. Tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to the Sports Scouting Report. Our guest today is Darren Moore, who's a coach now, and sometimes I want to say player Darren Moore because I remember when he was at Ponchatoula in Louisiana College. Darren, let's talk about your coaching career, and I mean, you're a free agent right now. You're no longer at Pineville as the coach, but you took them to one of their best seasons recently. Talk about that in a long time for them.
Yeah, we with everything going on with the COVID and all, you know, it made for unique situations and unique scheduling.
Yeah.
Pineville plays in a very tough district with West Monroe and Ruston and Ouachita and Ash. And West Ouachita, two of those teams were playing in the semifinals against one another this year, and Ash almost won the state championship. It was a tough district. Pineville hadn't been very successful since they went up to Class 5A in 2007. Coach Richard, who was actually an offensive line coach at Louisiana College, he was the head coach at Pineville in 2006, and they went undefeated that year, 10-0 in Class 4A. And then when they got to 5A, they went 5-5 that year and lost to Destrehan as a 32 seed. And then you don't see Pineville make the playoffs again until 2014, when they go 5-5 as well, and they made it as a 32 seed. And I believe they played Destrehan, either Destrehan or St. Paul's that year.
Yeah.
And then this past season, after going through COVID and everything like that, we got the guys, ready to play. We got a really good group of seniors, an even better group of juniors that we played a lot as sophomores and took our lumps with them as sophomores the year prior. And they competed well, and we won our first district game. And since 2014, they had a 32-game losing streak in district. And we won that. We had a 500 season, made the playoffs as a 26 seed, and went down to Central and played in the rain and not a very fun experience. And Central had a great team. Central had a very good team. I thought that, Coach Ted Edwards does a great job with those guys, but everything was looking up and positive, and have 18 returning starters coming back for next season, and in December they wanted to go in a different direction. So
the life of coaching, huh, Darren? It's not easy, but you just keep going, because the next job might be best for you. Like you told me the other day, you're looking to get back to South Louisiana. You mentioned that on the show today, but I know you've applied for some jobs, and we want principals and also administrators to hear you on the show, because I mean, you're a good guy. I think that you bring a lot to the table as a coach. and I think you're going to end up somewhere real soon at a good high school. Darren, what do you think, speaking of Louisiana College, where you played football, where you played O-line, you coached there, what's your thoughts on them going NAIA from D3? I mean, everybody knows D3 didn't have scholarships before. It's a private school. It's expensive to go there if you're paying scholarship money for it. But what's your thoughts on them going NAIA?
You know, I think that's a great thing for Louisiana College to go to NAIA, to be able to offer, you know, 36 scholarships a year. They're allowed to offer up to $500,000 in scholarship money, so they could separate it, you know, from 36 scholarships to 70 scholarships, depending on what Coach Maddox wants to do over there. I've been saying for a long time, if a NAIA school or a Division II school would ever come into Louisiana, they would be really successful. I mean, we just have so much talent in the state that, you know, and they just can't go play at every Division I school.
Right.
The problem is that when you only have Division I schools in the state, you have a misconception of the level of play at a smaller division. And, you know, playing at Louisiana College, I mean, you play against some very good football teams, some very good talent. We had a lot of guys. We had a lot of D1 kickback guys that came and played for us when I played there. Played against, some guys that were, you know, Division I guys that, you know, Mary Harden Baylor, Harden Simmons. I remember Harden Simmons had a quarterback that was a transfer from SMU, started at SMU for 3 years and got, and he was released from the school, and he goes and plays quarterback at Harden Simmons. And I mean, so you play against that kind of talent all throughout, you know, these smaller divisions. The enrollment is about, you know, a little over 1,000 to 1,500 students at LC, which is great. You have about a 7-to-1 student teacher ratio for a college that, you know, and if you struggle in school, I mean, that's a great place to be, because you're not sitting in a big auditorium with 300 people for your English class. You're sitting in a classroom with six other people for your English class. And, you know, and that was the thing, that was a big draw for me to go there. Obviously the Christian aspect of it, and, you know, being a Baptist college was big for me as well. But they've actually got the cost of the school is about the same as LSU now.
Yeah.
It's about the same to go to LSU as it is to go to Louisiana College. And, they do a set TOPS, and they do it. In fact, they give you TOPS, and then they double what TOPS would give you to go to LC. So they got they're doing some great things over there. And, you know, now they just got to go and build the facilities up and get the enrollment up, and they got to get students to stay at Louisiana College. And, you know, a lot of people go there as freshmen and even sophomore years, but then transfer to the larger schools for more of a college experience, I guess you could say. But, you know, I think that's always been the retention rate at LC has always been a struggle. But I think, you know, they have the right people in charge and doing the right stuff to get that to.
Yeah, and Darren, I want to mention this, you know, to people listening, parents and kids, and you played there, so you know. You know, with the pandemic and the lack of scholarships and the added year these kids are getting in college at other schools, there's lack of scholarships. It doesn't mean you can go over there and just be anybody and get a scholarship to Louisiana College. You still have to be a pretty good football player, like you said. There's 36 scholarships, but they're going to break those up, some of them, to have more players. But you're talking about – I see about 400 kids in Louisiana right now looking for a place to play. You can't put all 400 at LC, you know, that are still free agents. So there's other schools out there, and you know this. There's hundreds of schools in the country that are D2, D3 right now in NAIA. So, you know, it's one school. You'd love to stay in Louisiana, right? But it's just not a guarantee to get over there. They still got to accept you and offer you a scholarship.
Right. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you get offered to a school, an offer is an offer. And college football is college football.
Right.
And you get a full offer to a school in Iowa, you know, I'd much rather take a full offer at a school in Iowa than pay to walk on at a school in Louisiana. But I mean, that's my personal preference. You know, a lot of these FCS schools, we had a lot of guys at Pineville, seniors that were going to get recruited by FCS level schools, but, you know, that had 2023 scholarships available before coronavirus, but now they're down to 3 scholarships available because everybody's coming back, you know, and they have 3 guys that are graduating and don't want to come back, so they get 3 scholarships. So, I mean, like, I mean, the 2021 class is really struggling right now. So, you know, I got my guys out there, and I showed you what, you know, my spreadsheet that I did for my guys at Pineville, and I send that spreadsheet out to all football playing schools in the country, 727 of them. And, you know, and in return, you know, Andrew Frazier's got offers from, you know, schools in West Virginia and Missouri and Iowa and South Dakota, I mean, New Mexico's, but the majority are NAIA Division II schools. And so, but, you know, the seniors that I was trying to get scholarships for, all of them got scholarship offers. In fact, Isaiah Silas, who was a guy you had on your North Louisiana All-State team, offensive lineman, he had 8 scholarships offered to him. Mm-hmm. But he told me that he'd rather go to, you know, Lafayette, UL, to go into the engineering program, and that's okay.
Yeah,
college football is not for everybody.
Yeah.
But if it's a dream that you want to have, and it's a dream that you want to pursue, then you can't just stop it at the state line. You know, you got to be willing to go wherever you need to go.
Yeah, a lot of kids need to be open. A lot of kids don't want to leave home. They're scared to leave, or they don't know anything about the school. But Darren, what about your senior quarterback at Pineville? That I know you're high on him. He's a late bloomer, a big, tall kid, 6'2", 6'3", can run. What do you think about him, and where is he going?
I think Nate Dardar would have been a Division I guy had he not gone through everything that he went through. Nate was behind Ben West, who signed with Army his sophomore year. Well, the baseball season of his sophomore year, he ends up tearing his rotator cuff, misses the entire junior season, and then comes back and plays his senior year. And then, you know, we have the coronavirus his senior year, so he really gets a shortened season. But, I mean, Nate was averaging, you know, over 230, 240 yards a game, threw for 15 touchdowns. He did have 6 interceptions. But just a fighter. I mean, he just fights, and he fought his butt off and you know, when he was rehabbing his shoulder, and you know, just to get back on the field for his senior year, and he came in and he took the reins as a leader, and you know, he was a unanimous leader selected by his teammates on the Unity Council, and those guys, you know, saw the work that he put in, and he led those guys, and he's a big reason why we had the success that we had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy for Nate, and he's going to go to a school that is going to get a guy that should be playing Division I football.
Right. There's a lot of them like that right now. I mean, there's a ton of them. Drew Leger's like that from Vermilion Catholic. We're still trying to help Drew. I mean, this kid, Drew Leger from Vermilion, threw for 8,500 yards and 80 touchdowns, 6'2", 210. It's a lot of kids that are D1 that aren't even getting to 1AA's yet. But it's going to be – they're going to – you know, kids listening and parents listening, and Darren, you know this, till August, and that's what a lot of college coaches are telling me. They're not going to figure out their roster till August. That's crazy, man.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
but that's what we're in right now, you know. So
think about your register offices after that, because then you get offered, now you got to apply and all that. And man, that I don't want to be. I definitely don't want to be a coach at a smaller college right now.
No.
But
yeah. And look, let me mention your kicker. You had a 1-year kicker that replaced another good kicker. He had a good senior season. Talk about your kicker.
Well, actually,
Or I'm thinking of your long snapper. Your long snapper, I believe.
Well, our punter is probably what you're thinking of. Punter, we had a really good punter. Well, our punter was this year. We didn't have a traditional punter, and Kylan Birch was our backup quarterback, and we stayed in our offense. And we did rugby style punting. We just went into an empty set, and we snapped him, and we rugby style punt, and he averaged 51 yards of punt doing that.
That's when he runs to the side and punts sideways, right? The rugby way,
correct?
Australian way.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean the ball might have went 28 yards in the air, but it rolled 30 yards. Looking at it, I know we. Had a lot of naysayers about what we were trying to do, but when you don't have a guy that can, snap the ball 15 yards back and you don't have a guy that can punt the ball like a traditional punter, you have to think of ways to be able to move the football and punt the ball. And that was one of the ways that I looked up, and he averaged 51 yards a punt. He was 68% on fourth down conversions on fakes this year.
Man.
And we had our starting offensive, and he's our backup quarterback, and there's going to be a really good quarterback for him next year. And and so we were 68% on fakes and never had a punt blocked, and we only had one return the entire season. Sometimes the traditional way isn't the best way for your kids.
Yeah.
And so, I try to do whatever was possible to make those guys successful. I thought Tylan did a great job at punting the football this year. Nate also punted the ball for me too this year.
I want to mention a kid. I don't want to go through all of them, but there's one guy that caught my eye this year, and you're an O lineman, and you coach the O line. But this Caden Morrow, who's going to be a senior next year, class of 2022. Darren, he's got a lot of ability. I mean, 6'5", 280, 275, good feet, tough, long arms. What do you think of Caden Mora at Pineville? I mean, he's going to be a senior this coming season, but he's a guy that's a good, just looking at him, he looks the part and he can move pretty good.
And Lee, Caden to me, in my opinion, is the best offensive lineman I've coached so far. That guy, he goes to work every single day, and he's a fighter, and honestly, he probably doesn't know the difference between a practice and a game because he is full speed all the time.
Yeah.
And very technically sound, just mean and violent. And then, like you said, he's long, he's 6'5", but he's going to graduate at 17. He's going to be like I was when I was in high school.
Man.
I mean, he's going to graduate at 17. I mean, he can easily put 300 pounds on that frame and still move the way he moves. He's running a sub-5, five flat, around. I think if he, under the right training, he could probably get that down to about a 4.9 range. And then on top of that, the guy next to him, the left guard, Ethan Clark, they're probably the best two offensive linemen I ever coached.
And look, Ethan's a 6'2 guy that is – he's mean. And I love his feet. He's a tough kid.
He gets after it, man. He gets after it. Ethan played center his whole life, and he struggled at center his sophomore year as our backup. And we had Jacob Broussard as our starting center, who's at Stephen F. Austin now. And so Ethan struggled at center, just snapping against the level of competition that we're playing. So I moved him to guard. He was just too overly aggressive at center. But I mean, you want an aggressive guard,
and he
has flourished at guard. And those two guys being on the left side made it a lot easier to to call plays, and run game for him. But they get after it every single day. They work hard. They're best friends. They go the extra mile. And, I can't speak, more highly of those two. I mean, those two guys, maybe on a Division I campus, 2 years from now.
Yeah, and if Ethan somehow slips to 1AA, he's all conference, don't you agree, Southland Conference. He would be an all conference guard if he happens to not go D1, like to maybe a Stephen F. or a Southeastern or a Northwestern. He would be a stud for them. We're going to take another break and have our final segment with Coach Darren Moore. Darren, when we come back, I want to ask you about your former O-line coach at Ponchatoula. I think he's one of the best ever, Jim Guderian from Ponchatoula, one of the best ever in high school football, still coaching when Hank Turney at Ponchatoula High School. We're going to be right back. We got Darren Moore as our guest. We'll be right back. Looking for a used car? Harvey Autos has three dealerships, which means three times the used vehicles. They've got everything from fuel-efficient compacts to luxury models, even hybrids, and certified pre-owned with a warranty. Check out John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, or Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Welcome back to Louisiana, the Sports Scouting Report. I was going to say Louisiana Football Magazine, Darren. I get confused sometimes still, but we're going to put out our 25th issue, Darren, this year, 25 years this August. And I'm sure before the season starts, you're going to be at one of these schools that we talk about, one of these 300. I know you will. You'll be either a head coach or a coordinator or one of the best O-line coaches in the state. But speaking of O-line coaches, when you were at Ponchatoula, what do you think of Jim Guderian and what kind of coach he is at Ponchatoula? He's been around. He coached Joe Abragamo, who's a friend of mine. Joe played at LSU as a center at Archbishop Shaw. Jim had several centers go D1. And isn't he a great teacher of the game as a center?
Yeah, Coach Guderian, I didn't play for him. He got there after I got there.
Okay, right after.
But I know him, and I mean I've sat down with him several times when I go home, and Coach Hank, and I go visit the staff, and we sit down and talk offensive line play. I mean, his offensive line mindset is unbelievable, you know, and he's coached, you know, at a lot of places, even in the NFL. And, I think he's great. My offensive line coach was Mike Biamani, who was also our head coach.
Yeah, Mike.
Coach Hank was our offensive coordinator when I was there. And, I think that, you know, what he has done and what Coach Hank has built at Ponchatoula has been incredible. So,
what do you think of Ponchatoula in the years, all the guys they put out? Ronald McClendon's the one that I remember the most, the most gifted. Ronald McClendon, they had a DN go to Purdue, do well. They've got a great quarterback right now who's really a safety that's going to be one of the top players in the state this coming year. And they had a quarterback go to Georgia Tech. He was pretty good. His brother went to LSU, who's now at Louisiana Tech as an offensive lineman. But they always have really good skill guys at Ponchatoula, huh, Darren, at Ponchatoula High School?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, you got T.J. Finley. He's at LSU right now.
Right. And T.J. So, quarterback. Yeah, and his brother's a heck of a receiver at Ponchatoula right now.
Yes, yeah, he is. And then, you know, Christian Campbell is the guy that went to Georgia Tech. He was a 5A player of the year back in 2014. Reggie Walker, who went to Kansas State, he plays for the Arizona Cardinals right now.
Man, he's good, isn't he? He's a good –
Yeah, he's really good. Really good. Ronald McClendon, obviously, running back, went to Ole Miss.
Tulane, second.
Tulane. He went to Tulane. He was the running back before Forte.
Yeah.
At Tulane. And then the one guy that a lot of people always talked about was we called him Monstar, which was his last name was Henderson.
Yeah, he was he was a beast.
He went to Southern Miss and played for the New York Giants. So I mean they've always put out some great talent, and it seems over the years, at least in recent years, they keep putting out some big name guys. I see that, you know, this class coming up, the senior class. I mean, it looks like they have four or five guys in the top 300. And so, I mean, you know, Coach Hanks, talking to him, you know, he told me that this is probably the most talented team he's ever coached, you know, ever. And so, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
So I mean they definitely have some great talent there, and he's doing a great job there.
Well, that says a lot, because I don't know, man. He had some great Shaw teams on the West Bank.
I know.
And Archbishop Shaw, I mean, I don't know, man. He had Mickey Joseph at one time, Pat Riley, Sean Jones, Kendall Bussey, Enrel Chester. They were all on one team. They went to Oklahoma, Colorado, Nebraska, all in 1 year. I mean, he had the best of the best. I remember, Darren, when he was at Shaw, if you did a top 10 recruiting list every year for like 10 years he was there, he had two of the top 10 in the state every year. You know, every
right.
year. And then, but for him to say that, that's super strong, because I knew of three Shaw teams that had eight D1 guys in 1 year go to Power Five. I do see eight kids on this Ponchatoula team that can sign. I don't remember eight in a class, do you?
No, I mean, definitely not. But I mean, they definitely have some. They have some guys that can play, and like I said, Coach Hank definitely. You know, he said that this is the best Ponchatoula team he's going to coach, and one of the best, if not the best, team he coached. I mean, he's got a state championship team, 1984 Shaw team.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that team, you know, for him to say that, you know, you got to understand that those guys are going to be really good. I mean, they're going to have 19 returning starters back in the team that played this year. And so, I mean, they're going to be a very good, very solid football team next year.
I want to mention this, and you know this because you're from Ponchatoula, but you know their best player is a junior D tackle. He's a 224 guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's the best player on the team. He's a D tackle about – I don't want to give his name out yet because he's only a sophomore. He started last year as a freshman. 6'3", 300, runs a 4.8 40. He looks like Glenn Dorsey.
Wow.
And he's the best on the team, and he's going to be a sophomore or a junior. No, he's going to be a junior. So, yeah, he's behind this class, so he's going to be a 223 guy. Now – when's the last time Ponchatoula had one of the best D tackles in the country? Well, the Henderson kid, like you said, and then the DN that went to Kansas State. But this guy's better than both of those guys, Darren. It's crazy.
Yeah. We had a guy when I played, Jonathan Kenshin. He was really good, but he signed with Southeastern. I mean, we hadn't known. I can't think of outside of, you know, those names that we mentioned already of having a dominant defensive lineman.
Yeah, and then, do they have an opening at Ponchatoula?
I haven't been in talks with Coach Hank yet.
Man, it'd be something, though, if you ended up over there as an assistant coach or something, you know, because that's where you're from. But you're open to any of these good jobs. And like you said, you're trying to get back south. If you could, I know you'd still be open to stay north if it's a good job that you could get, right? So you're open to any really good job, any good tie, right?
Right.
I mean, you're still a young guy, man. I'm getting old, man. Are you 30 yet? Are you at least 30?
I turned 30 this year.
Congratulations, man. You're in the 30 club, but I mean, you're still super young, man. You got so much time left to coach. And, you know, when you were at Falls River, Darren, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll do one more segment. But I want to ask you, it's a shame that Falls River quit playing football. But you did a great job when you were the head coach at Falls River in New Roads, Louisiana. We'll be right back. We got Darren Moores, our guest, former Ponchatoula star and former Louisiana College star offensive lineman. And now he's a coach recently with Pineville High School around Alexandria, Louisiana. We'll be right back. So, hey, guys, just wanted to take a minute to tell you about Harvey Autos. If you need a new or used car, there's three great dealerships right here worth checking out. John Harvey Toyota, Harvey Subaru, and Lexus of Shreveport, Bossier City. Low prices, honest people, tell them Lee sent you. Welcome back. You listen to Sports Scouting Report. I'm your host, Lee Burkeen. Our guest is Darren Moore, Ponchatoula native. And, Darren, I want to mention this because when you were at Falls River, you came on our TV show, and y'all had one of the best seasons in the history of Falls River High School. I want to mention that because people forget that. And when people are, when you're putting your resume out there to get a job, I'm trying to help you here, but you had the greatest season ever at Falls River in the history of their school. And then the school basically shut down, you know, with football a few years ago. I hated to see that happen.
Yeah, you know, I thought that Falls River was, I enjoyed my time at Falls River. New Orleans is a beautiful town and great community. And, you know, you're competing against Catholic Kentucky, which, you know, Coach Simino is doing a great job over there.
Yeah, he is.
The big thing that hurt Falls River was the Ponkapi Parish School System built a STEM school, which is at the old Ponkapi Central High School. Those kids get to go play their sports at Livonia High.
Yeah.
And so it's basically a free private school. And so so when I took over, you know, they weren't very, very good. The year before they went 2-8. They scored 89 points the whole season. They had won 4 games in the last 5 years when I got there. And that first year we went 5-5, which, you know, and we played a 4A school and a 3A school, and we lost to Catholic Ponkapi in a close, in a close one. We lost to Westminster in a close one. But we was going in a week 9 and sitting in first place, tied for first in district play. That never happened before. But we had a really good talent there. We had a really good talent there. And I thought that we continue to keep playing well. But then we got to that next year. We went 4-6, had a lot of injuries. And then when you looked at it behind them, we had that junior class only had 1 player, 3 boys total in the whole junior class.
Wow.
The sophomore class had 1 player, and they had 6 total boys in the whole sophomore class. Mm. There were 0 boys in the freshman class.
That's great.
And then there was only 4 boys in the 8th grade class. Mm. I mean, so we were losing so many guys to either Catholic and or the STEM school. And, you know, they called me in. They didn't believe that they were going to be able to furnish a football program. And so when they told me that, I began to look for another job. And that's when I went to Pineville. But, you know, taking that job over, I was only 24 years old when I took that job.
It taught you a lot, didn't it, as a young guy?
Yeah, it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot. And being the youngest head coach in 5A taught me a lot, too. So it was something that you get to look back on and enjoy, you know. And I enjoyed it there, and I enjoyed my time at Pineville. I've had the opportunity to coach in the college level. I coached at Louisiana College, and I coached at Hendricks College up in Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so, that's why I think that, you know, everything is just gonna work out.
Yeah,
it's all gonna work out.
Yeah, but you know, you're at that stage now, Darren, that you're ready to dominate the coaching. I mean, you got all the experience at Falls River and Louisiana College, Pineville, coaching out of state college. But I think whoever gets you is going to get one of the great young minds in the state, and you're going to be great in this business. I know that you like coaching, you like helping kids, and you like developing these players, and you love the game. You know, obviously, because you didn't give up when you left Ponchatoula and nobody came around. Like you said, when you didn't get a D1 offer or 1AA, you're like, I'm going to play college football. And you did. You went to Louisiana College, which was D3, and you said, you know, that's a tough school, too. Like you said, it's not easy. It's not easy at the D3 level. Now they're NAIA, but got a lot of respect for you, Darren, and proud of you. Ben, I think everything's going to work out, and I'm glad we could tell your story today on our podcast. And I know you got to get back to school because you're teaching right now, and they're probably going to, the bell's probably going to ring any minute, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm at a virtual school at the moment, so we don't have any class, any students on campus. But you know, I share a room with Coach Mafus, who's been coaching for years, and getting to sit here and pick his brain a little bit. You know, he's the defensive coordinator at Southeastern back in 1969.
Are we talking about Robbie Mafus? No, they were talking about okay.
No, so he's my roommate.
There you go. And so, like they said, you know, wisdom is the key to life, right? I mean, anything you can get from someone else that's been around longer and just continue to digest that information. And you know this, every year you coach, you become a better coach. Every year you learn something else. And, you know, you started, like I said, Falls River, which was a 1A school, and then you went up to the 5A school, Pineville, and you played ball, D3 football at Louisiana College. And, you know, let's see where, you know, you don't know where you might end up back at a 1A powerhouse or 1A or 3A school. You just don't know, or 5A again. We'll see. But everything's going to work out. And be safe. And man, thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Darren. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, Lee. And, you know, for the kids out there that, you know, I mean, the even crazy part of the whole story is, you know, I graduated high school at 17.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was 225 pounds when I graduated high school. And then when I left LC, I was 312 pounds.
And let's tell the listeners that you were 6'3", 4". You were a tall, lean guy. You were, I call it athletic lean, but you weren't 270 where they went, okay, he's 270. You built your, like you said, you built your way up to that 6'4" frame, 225. That's amazing that you were two. And I remember that. I remember you were a lean, tough, strong guy. You were strong, though, at 225. You were pretty strong.
Yeah. And played multiple sports. Played football. I played basketball. I played baseball and golf and at Marshall High. You know,
I didn't know you were a golfer. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. I loved it. I played in I played in the state championships my senior year. I even played at Louisiana College.
Were you the biggest golfer playing at 6'4", 225 that year? Were you the biggest person?
I believe Mandeville had a guy that was just about my size, and he could hit it too. He could swing it.
How far could you hit it driving? Because a guy your size at the time, you probably could drive it more than most.
I could probably, you know, around 320.
Wow.
You know, I could hit my wedge about 155, 160.
You know, all them golfers are saying, man, this guy, he might have been a golfer.
Look, I got a younger cousin that's at St. Paul's right now that's one of the best in the country. And I can't even hold him. I mean, he is unbelievable.
What's his name? So we'll get his name out there.
His name is Joshua Acord.
What grade's he in right now?
He will be – he's either a sophomore or a junior this year.
So can he do it all, putt, drive, everything?
He's a scratch. I mean, he's the youngest to ever win the Money Hill Club Championship, men's club championship.
Wow.
He competes in the All-State Sugar Bowl tournament, amateur tournament every year, which is invitation only. I mean, he travels all across the country competing in tournaments. Loves it, loves playing, and he's one of the best high school amateurs in the country.
Has Arizona State or Oregon or LSU offered him in golf? Any of those?
He's got several offers. Yeah,
man. So we got to keep an eye on your cousin.
He'd probably be one of the best receivers in the state too.
Come on.
He would play. Oh, he's an unbelievable athlete.
We don't want to mess that golf up, you know, because if you hurt your hand, right? We don't want to, you know, that's definitely not the, you know, I don't want to say golf's not physical because it wear and tears your shoulder and your arms, but we don't want that to happen with football. Not that football is going to, you know, if we don't want to mess that golf up, man, if he's a national recruit. What would you think? He's one of the top 10 or 15 in the country, you think?
I think the last time I talked to him, he was definitely in the top 50. I think he was like around the 25 range.
That's impressive, Darren.
I mean, he goes out there and in a non-tournament setting, you know, we go out and play and he'll shoot 65, 64, you Whoa. Know, like, I mean, he's impressive. And that, you know, and he hit, I mean, there's not many people that, I mean, I could still hit the golf ball over 300 now. And he just blows by my ball. It's not even fair.
Hey, Darren, the other day I watched one of my favorite comedies, Happy Gilmore. You ever watch that one?
Yeah.
I love watching that movie. I mean, the golf has some of the best comedies ever. You know, Rodney Dangerfield was in one way back with Bill Murray and
Caddyshack.
Those are two of my favorite movies that involve golf. But you know, it's really a great sport. And look, it's the only sport. You know this. You only get paid if you place.
That's right.
So you got to pay. Yeah. You got to pay your caddy anyway. So if you don't place, you still got to pay your caddy, and that means there's no salary involved. So that's a tough sport to get into and get in that top 100, you know.
And then on top of that, it's the only sport that you can play your whole life.
Yeah.
And also, it's a sport that you have to continuously better yourself at to be good at it. Like, you just, you know, you can't just go out there and pick up a club and expect to be good. It's just, you know, it's a great sport.
There's only one scare though when you play in golf. If you're in Florida, you might encounter an alligator on the course, right?
Yeah, Louisiana too.
If you're playing in Arizona, they got scorpions. Yeah, in Louisiana. But it's funny though when you see these golf tournaments and these guys hit their balls like in these ponds or the ball's right on the edge of the pond and. You know, you see these alligators lurk out. You're like, oh, okay. All right.
Well, look, I was playing at Louisiana College, and we were playing Louisiana College, Mississippi College tournament, and it was at Black Bear in Delhi, Louisiana. And we're sitting on the tee box, and a Black Bear mama and her cubs run out on the fairway.
Ooh. You kidding me? Like a big old full-grown mom, Black Bear?
Big old bear and her cubs.
So how long did that stop play? It just stopped for...
we just stopped until they crossed. So, and I made sure I didn't hit it in the direction they went.
You know, Darren, you're probably freaking out because we don't see bears. I haven't seen a bear in Louisiana. I heard we got them, but...
They got a bunch up here in North Louisiana, so...
So this bear just kind of took its time with its family and just walks across the greens, huh?
Yeah, the fairway, yeah. They're standing on the tee box and...
Did you run? Enough. Did you throw your clubs?
Oh no! I mean, they're about 150 yards away from us.
Okay.
200 yards out.
Get your camera out, so. Take some pictures of them, or anything, or.
I don't even know about a phone that can do that.
I'm glad you shared that story because you don't hear that very often. A bear come out on the golf course.
Yeah, it was in Black Bear. It was at Black Bear Country Club in Delhi.
Well, I'm glad they're protected, though. You know, they're not black bears. They're not like those bears in Alaska that, or those grizzlies. You know, that's a different kind of bear.
Right.
The black bears are pretty friendly if you don't mess with them. But Darren, again, appreciate it, man. I know you got to get back to what you're doing, even though it's no kids in class. You still got to work, but I appreciate it. And stay in touch with us. I know you will when you get your job or wherever you're going to work. Obviously, give me a call.
Sounds good, Lee. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it so much.
Don't hang up. We're going to end the show, but don't hang up. Go to our LAFootballMagazine.com. We've got stories this week on different high schools in the state, on recruits, and also coaches. We got a story this week on Montgomery High School, speaking of North Louisiana. They don't even have a red light in Montgomery, the town. We say that because Coach told me at Montgomery, they don't even have a stoplight. The town is so small, Montgomery High School. But Jace Lejeune is writing that this week, and also we're going to have other articles this week. And appreciate Darren Moore coming on, football coach. And we'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Scouting Report podcast with Lee Brekeen.